eyes everywhere.
There's so many eyes. I was so into eyes. Oh, good lord.
This is the Aragog of fanfiction, because there's more eyes.
Oh my goodness, yes.
Ahoy, and welcome to Puffcast, your Harry Potter happy ship. This is episode 41 on October 13th, 2021, and I am Professor Madame Spooch.
Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh
that
my
is
god!
Incredible!
That's really good, Val.
Hello, lovelies.
Oh my god!
Do you like my hat?
The goggles and the hat!
There's a broom.
Madame Spooch?
I am Spooch.
You are Madame Spooch. Oh my goodness. Oh.
She has spooched the ship.
Yes. And for those who don't know who that is Professor Sprout and Madame Hooch.
We are gagged. If only you could see what we are seeing right now. Oh,
we will post
my.
Some pictures.
Yes. Oh, for sure.
That is a really good costume, Val.
Thank you.
I am thrown away. I'm here with just a Harry Potter sweatshirt.
But oh, who wow. else is in the house?
Oh, okay.
Oh my gosh, well, I cannot wait.
The other person here today is Squost.
Yes! What?
My favorite fan fiction ever with the squid and toast. I know you guys would know because you listen to Fanatical Fix.
Yes!
Squid and toast!
So cute!
Squost!
Oh my god, I'm crying!
I feel very appreciated right now.
I made him. He's holding his little piece of toast.
Oh my goodness. Oh, that's so good.
For anyone who's listening, Squost is the ship name I just made up for the giant squid and the piece of toast. It's a very rare pair.
Very. Extremely rare.
I think there's literally only one fan fiction actually written about it, but if you've ever listened to the Fanatical Fix podcast, mm-hmm. you know Squost.
Mm-hmm.
And here mm-hmm. he is. He's on my head.
Oh my gosh.
So good.
Oh, you guys, really, we were not prepared for any of this, and already we've gone in. Oh, I have to breathe. You guys look amazing. This is so fun.
Billy Mouse is a lot more actually involved than mine, but I put the love into Squost.
I know. For listeners to see Mel literally full get up, like clothing, scarf, hat, goggles on hat with broomstick and randomness, and then we have Juliana.
I cut a squid out of paper,
and I put a piece of toast on it.
But he looks so adorable.
Oh, it's so good.
So I can wear him.
Both are so good for different reasons. That's amazing. Oh, man, we love you guys so much.
This is just a testament to ingenuity and creativity right here. This is why you befriend Hufflepuffs. Because yes. they are crafty. They will make anything. And it just... I can't get over how brilliant you guys are. Like, we don't need to do the rest of the episode because I'm dead.
I know, yeah, we've died. We are now the ghosts on the podcast making it spooky.
Our only goal was to make you both laugh, so...
Yeah.
Well, this is our Halloween episode, and therefore we had to dress up, of course, so here we are.
Yes!
I think we did a good job with our costumes, Mel.
Yes,
I
think so, absolutely.
Yeah, it looks very professional.
I know. Yeah, you'd be someone I'd walk up to at LeakyCon and be like, can I take a picture with you?
Yes. Sure, we can take some screenshots now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I'll just Photoshop us together.
Oh, maybe we should introduce our magical guest, Juliana.
Oh, probably, yeah. That's a good idea. I got so distracted by our costumes.
I know,
yes.
Yeah.
I didn't realize we actually hadn't introduced our guests. So today, joining Professor Spooch and Squost, we have the lovely Megs and the lovely Nathan of the Care of Magical Shippers podcast, which is partially why Mel and I are each dressed up as a different ship.
Woo! We love it!
Oh. Welcome, guys!
Hi, thank you!
Thank you so much for having us. We are delighted to be here. Mm-hmm. So happy.
Yeah.
We have recently recorded an episode for you guys on your podcast, and we thought we could return the favor and have you guys on here and do something really fun for a special episode.
Yes.
Yeah. Plus, we had so much fun with you both on that podcast and just in general.
Yes, so much fun.
Mark your calendars. Our guest episode on the Care of Magical Shippers podcast is being released on Monday, the 25th of October, where we read the Spooch fanfiction written by our very own Jeff. Go and check it out.
Mel and I were thinking, what should we do for our Halloween episode? And we were thinking, well, oh, we'll write a Halloween fan fiction. And then Mel had the great idea of inviting you on. I was like, that is, why did we not think of that earlier? Mm-hmm. Why are we just thinking of that now?
We're so excited. Yeah, thank you.
So hyped. The energy in the room is already fantastic. I just can't wait to dive right into this. It is going to be stellar.
Well, I mean, the squid is ready. He's got his toes. He's like,
I might deduct some points or give some points at random, so depending on what you guys are up to today. So.
Oh, we have to be on our best behavior, Nathan.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I just want to say from the outset that that is going to be really difficult for me, but I will try my best to do it for you guys.
Yeah, we're definitely coming from a completely different atmosphere of a podcast. Yes. And so we're like, okay, we got to put our puff hats on and, you know, just like reel it in for an hour.
Yeah.
We can do this. We can do this.
My question is, do you guys know what house technically the giant squid would be in? Because if I'm going to have points redacted or taken away from me, I need to know which house that's going to. So I think we need to assign a house to the giant squid. Do we think he's a Ravenclaw? Because he's very invested in this piece of toast and knowing what it is.
Has a very strong emotional connection to said toast. Like, it's just, it can't get the toast out of its head. I don't know, but that doesn't mean it's still, like, Hufflepuffy.
It's a very sort of, like, pensive squid thing. There's a lot of thoughts going on. So I'm thinking it's, like, intellectual.
Very intellectual.
Nice pun.
I think Nathan made it canon that the giant squid is a Ravenclaw and he's very intellectual. We have now done our job twice today.
Yes.
So,
and we're not even into the episode, really.
No.
This is a day of high achievement, people.
Shall we maybe start with you guys telling us your fandom ID? We want to know everything.
Oh, yes. So obviously I'm Megs. I go by she, her, and I am definitely a Slytherin. I radiate big Slytherin energy. Anyone who knows me would be like, there's no way I would fit anywhere else. And I love it. I love it. And I love having two Hufflepuff friends that can just like take care of all the Hufflepuffy things that I just can't. And I just
all the crafts, all the snacks and everything like that.
Oh, yes, exactly. And then my Patronus, I guess, is a, what is it, Nebelung cat, which I kind of looked into it, and it's like a long-haired gray cat with green eyes. But I'll be honest, I really don't like cats. Like, I have a strong aversion to cats. I've been scratched by cats. They get up on everything.
Oh, no.
They're just dirty, and they don't care about anyone else. And then I'm like, huh. I don't care about anyone else. I am dirty. I get up on everything. No, I'm just kidding. I'm like, okay, this is definitely me.
I was just about to agree with you until then. Because I'm not a fan of cats either.
No, but I can feel some cat energy, and probably that's why me and cats don't get along, because we're just two big personalities that just, you know, so it's just, it's my inner cat coming out when I cast my Patronus.
Okay.
And I guess my wand is cypress. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what the length is, but I don't know what that means, but that's what it is. And so as far as favorite food, we've obviously been talking about pizza on various occasions, and apparently I can't pick pizza because...
No, you cannot.
That's the rule. So I have kind of a two combo because I was asking my husband, I was like, what do I eat a lot of? And he's like, well, sugar cereal for one. Absolutely. I love cereal. And then two...
I love cereal too.
And then two, he calls them oily noodles because I like pasta salad. I like, you know, mac and cheese, you know, just like all the various things that essentially if it's a pasta covered in something terrible for you, I am all for it. So that's my favorite food combo. Not together. I don't think I would put sugar cereal on oily noodles, but, you know.
So I'm Nathan. I go by he, him. My house is Ravenclaw, and my Patronus, well, like, on Pottermore, it says I'm an osprey, but I really just don't agree with that. My Patronus would be a hedgehog, because I drink a lot of milk, and I'm a mix between prickly and cuddly.
I love that. So hedgehogs drink milk? Is that their thing?
Yeah, you're not supposed to give them milk. It's bad for them, but they still drink it anyway, and I resonate with that. My wand is apparently laurel, 12 and 3/4 inches with a phoenix feather core, whatever that means.
Fancy.
For you wand nerds out there. And my favorite food that is not pizza. Now, I have an issue with this question because this is a podcast run by Hufflepuffs, and I have to pick just one food. Like, I love food. So I racked my brains trying to think of like one thing. If I'm pressed, I would have to say chicken fajitas, because I love the mix of the meat and the peppers and the sauces, and then you wrap it all up, and they can't be eaten elegantly. You just have to sort of ram it in
everywhere.
And hope that it somehow finds your mouth.
The juice is running down your side of your arm and into your shirt.
It's so ungainly and not at all elegant and exactly like me. So that's why I chose that particular food.
Okay.
So I will say that we kind of keep it to one food because being Hufflepuffs, Mel and I and our guests could probably turn a favorite food discussion into a full podcast.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So we try and keep people reined in so we can have the actual discussion that we came here for, which is a Halloween fan fiction plus another edition of fun fan fiction.
Mm-hmm.
But what we'd also love for you guys to do is if you can just tell our listeners a little bit about yourselves and your podcast, so that way they know who you are.
Mm-hmm. Well, so as for me, I'm a long-term Harry Potter nerd ever since the books came out. I was the same age as the trio growing up reading these stories. Listened to the audiobooks like at least once a year since forever. I had the cassette tapes, then I had the CDs. Now I have the audiobooks on my phone. I'm actually relatively new to fan fiction, which is hilarious. It's October Halloween time, and I started writing Halloween time last year.
Really?
Yes, I know. I know. Look at all the things that I did within a year. It's just wild when I stop and think about it. So one of the fanfics that we will be reading for you is actually my first ever fic that I wrote for a Halloween writing competition for Fanatical Fics. So it's kind of in the realm of everything, which is fun. But yeah, but as far as our podcast goes, the idea behind it was, I mean, Nathan and I met actually through Fanatical Fics. We're both patrons of the podcast and love that.
Well, we've had both those ladies on here as
well.
Mel will let us know what episode number that is. Insert Mel saying episode number here.
That was episode 24.
Okay.
Done.
Yes.
Done.
And then I don't know. I think I just started talking about how, I don't know if you know what anti-culture is, but essentially it's where there's a lot of people in fandom who have very strong opinions as far as characters and ships and often are very negative and aggressive. And it's a really toxic part of fandom that unfortunately exists. It sucks, but it does. So we wanted to have a space to celebrate everything that we love and to include people into validating people for what they like, regardless of what it is. Like, because I know a lot of people can feel
alienated in fandom, if you're not mm-hmm. like into the big ships and you like all these rare pairs, like people are gonna, you know, think or say certain things. But this has been a great opportunity for all those little voices to come out and be heard and come together. Yeah. And it's just, it's been so fun. I feel like we've really brought a lot of positivity and love to the fandom just from our short period of doing this. And it's just, it really feels great, all the feedback that we've gotten, especially from people who felt like they never felt seen or had a space that they felt comfortable in until our podcast happened, which was, is really, I'm not gonna cry.
Well, you can cry. This is a Hufflepuff podcast as well, and we are definitely about spreading that positivity mm-hmm. and love and all those feelings and everything. And I know I've expressed this to you guys too, is that your podcast just makes me smile so much mm-hmm. because you guys are just, you're friends mm-hmm. and I love that, and you have so much fun recording your podcast. It just radiates out of, well, for me, my phone, because yeah. that's where I'm listening from.
Yeah,
but whatever your listening device of choice is, it radiates out of that, and it just provides people with, I think, the liberty to not only have fun
yeah.
with these ships, but you guys definitely really break that mold and are just open to any old ship and mm-hmm. just take it on and say, hey, this could work possibly, and yeah. we can see maybe how this could be a thing.
Exactly. I think I don't know if it will have aired yet, but this is, so either spoiler or go listen, we did a crack ship, McGonagall and Lockhart, which was super fun.
Oh wow. I'm excited to hear that one.
So we go everything from the common stuff that you love to the crazy, wacky everything. So, because it's all, it's our world. We just want to play and have fun. So, yeah.
I would like to request Lockhart and Voldemort as a pairing at some point, because that is
wild.
That is a ship that I stand on right now.
Okay, making note, yeah. making note.
I'll have to work on my fan fiction that I started writing where they actually end up together in the end.
Oh, yes.
I haven't really read many fan fictions, but I have listened to Fanatical Fix and I have listened to you guys. And I actually have to admit, I start to feel very interested to read more or hear mm-hmm. more. And I actually very much enjoyed your discussions about Arthur Weasley and Lucius Malfoy.
Oh, yeah. We love
that episode.
I have to tell you, I have had a very long, very boring day at work, and I was just listening to you guys, and you made it so much better, because you guys, as Juliana already said, you just make everyone really laugh, and it's just, that was really fun.
Oh, thank you. Oh, gosh.
I second that.
Yeah. Just a disclaimer that I probably didn't bring up before. It is an E-rated podcast.
Yes. Definitely.
We're on Puffcast now. Care of Magical Shippers is a whole different monster entirely, so it is for the 18-plus crowd.
Yes.
For me, what I love about what we do in the space is just that I felt like life was going down this really serious road. You know, with everything that's happening in the world at the moment, with lockdowns and everything, I felt like there was a need for people to laugh more in mm-hmm. the space, and to have that room for comedy. And you know, I've come up through a really academic background. My love of Harry Potter was really like canon only for ages, so for me this was a way to really challenge that mm-hmm. And so then when, you know, Meg suggested, do you want to come and be a part of this podcast, I was like, well, this is going to be a learning experience. And it mm-hmm. absolutely has been, because it's taken me to places I never thought I would end up. I love talking about all the different ships, even if it's something that I don't particularly stan. Mm-hmm. I'm so interested in figuring out all the different permutations of how characters can work and how they work differently in fandom to canon. And yeah, it's just, I have a massive geek out time about it. It's
yes.
so yeah. much
it's
fun.
It's fun. We have fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it so much. It's so fun to be able to take the characters that we know and love and take them into the plot holes that are there.
Yeah.
Or even beyond that.
Exactly. They don't have to make sense, but or they can also make a lot of sense.
And they definitely won't make sense today.
No.
We're not promising that in any capacity. Okay, so I think that is a great introduction to who you both are yeah. and what you do. Do 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 news. Hello, listeners, and welcome to the afternoon news.
Hello.
This is Juliana here reporting live from the news, and we are very excited today to bring you nothing else but news on the news.
And opinions.
Yeah, and opinions, because we have a lot of opinions. And we have a lot of great feedback to share as well.
Yes, we do.
Our first thing on the news docket today is something that we said we would talk about in our last episode, which is the new title of the Fantastic Beasts movie, Fantastic Beasts, The Secrets of Dumbledore. And we wanted to just talk about our feelings and thoughts around the title, because even up till right now, Warner Brothers, all we have is this title. Why is there not a trailer? Like, where is the trailer? You can't just drop a title and then not give us a trailer. You can't do that.
Two things.
Yes.
Probably. After we have recorded this, there will be a trailer in the next week.
I mean, honestly, just give it like 5 hours, maybe.
Yeah, tops. Who knows? But so. Another point I quickly have to make, no one has pointed it out, luckily, but in the last episode, I actually said the wrong year when this is coming out.
Oh, I didn't even realize it.
So this is coming out, of course, April 15th, 2022, not 21, 22. No one noticed. I only noticed it in the very last run when I edited it. Then I forgot to take that out and change it and uploaded everything. And then I realized later when it was already published, and then I was just too lazy to fix it. So here we go.
I mean, if anyone thought that we, as a planet, that we were all going to jump into a time machine to go see this movie, I...
But Juliana, we have been so tired lately, we might have slept through it, so...
honestly, at this point, I wouldn't put it past us.
So obviously it's coming out next year, so I'm sorry about that.
Yes, but something else about the release date that we just learned in the last couple of weeks is that Ireland and the UK will actually be getting the movie a full week earlier than the rest of the world. So yes. They are getting it on April 8th, and the rest of the world is getting it on April 15th. So Mel and I are on the April 15th train, unfortunately.
I suppose so. I have not seen a release date for Finland. It could be that it's also a day or two different. So that sometimes happens.
There's no way you're on the April 8th train. Finland is probably on the April 27th train. Like, let's be real here, Mel.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised, to be honest.
Yeah. That will be interesting because we both have friends in the UK mm-hmm. and in Ireland, and trying to keep the spoilers under wraps for a whole week is going to be interesting. I think we might have to just sign off of Harry Potter related social media for like a full week.
Usually for all the big movies that I'm very much looking forward to, I usually do not even look at pictures or any trailers to not get any potential spoilers. I just want to be fully without any visuals going to the cinema and watch it. But it's going to be interesting now that we are having our own podcast and the movie comes out. We have to closely monitor everything and analyze everything.
Yeah. I feel like that will probably be my job, because I'm not too upset about being spoiled on things, mostly because mm-hmm. if I see a picture or an image or something like that, it goes into the deep, dark abyss that is my brain and I forget it. So... I kind of treat it as a brand new thing every time I've seen it. So unless it's the fact that maybe in the trailer or in someone reveals a really big plot point, like Credence actually isn't a Dumbledore or something like that, which honestly...
I doubt that. That was the big cliffhanger of the last movie. They will not reveal that.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I hope that... This is just my hot take, but I hope that he's not a Dumbledore. I don't want him to be a Dumbledore. Grindelwald is a professional liar.
That is true.
He's a professional liar. I think that he is using his skill set to lie to this poor boy who is desperate, going to multiple countries with these people he does not even know to figure out, who am I?
Yeah. But speaking of, I thought we could talk a little bit of our very brief thoughts about the title itself, because everyone had very different opinions. And we also have two comments from our listeners and friends that we want to include here. But Juliana, what is your take on the title Fantastic Beasts, The Secrets of Dumbledore?
So I will say, I don't hate it. I don't love it either, though. I find that it's a little bit bland.
Mm-hmm.
It follows the exact same format as the last one, The Crimes of Grindelwald.
Yeah.
And it's just strikingly similar. And the hill that I will die on, and Mel already knows this, is that they really truly missed out on such an opportunity to call this The Life and Lies of Albus Dumbledore. Yes, I realize that book has not been written yet in this timeline. Does it really matter? No. We don't even learn what the crimes of Grindelwald are in that movie. He must have a much larger crime backstory, but we don't really learn any of it. We just learn that he does things and has killed a baby. But that's pretty much
well,
it.
Well, those are considered crimes, I would say, especially the baby killing, I mean.
Yeah, but if you're going to name the movie Crimes of Grindelwald, I want like a mafia-style villain coming through, killing like literally everyone and stealing everything he lays his eyes on. Then I'm like, uh-huh, the crimes of Grindelwald. I see them. I see you, Grindelwald, doing crimes.
But you talking about the title, The Life and Lies of Albus Dumbledore, we can actually include Anu's thoughts here because I am agreeing mm-hmm. with her. Anu was saying, I am happy with the title. The book, The Life and Lies of Albus Dumbledore, was written by Rita Skeeter and is an equivalent of clickbait. To me, it is little better than any tabloid sensationalism. There is bias written right into the title, whereas The Secrets Of seems more like a presentation of the man and you can do with it what you will. Just my thoughts from a Dumbledore fan. For me, it is just as you also pointed out. I feel like that is a title that comes much, much, much later in the timeline. And therefore, I think they kind of want to stay a little bit away from Harry Potter and his storyline. So to use this title specifically, I don't know. You kind of got a point, and many have said the same thing as you, that it would have been kind of like calling fan to service. The fans, maybe. Fan service, yes.
Yes.
I think they still want to make sure that, yes, it's Dumbledore. Yes, he is also later in a pivotal point in Harry's story, but they still want to keep that separated. You know, this is Newt's story, apparently. That is another point we can talk about in a moment.
Yeah, well, I don't know how much more of Newt's story we're going to get. Like, let's be real here, Mel. Yeah. We know what direction these movies are going in. Newt is truly just going to become a background character at this point. And I have two hills that I'm going to die on about this point, about the life and lies of Albus Dumbledore.
So many hills today.
I have a lot of hills. I have a lot of opinions, people. The first hill is that, of course, this movie needs to do good for the franchise to continue, because the last movie was just like a big old ball of flaming poop when it came to how well it did overall in the world. I know in some countries it did better than others.
Yeah, in Europe, it did actually quite well, so...
Yeah. The problem is that a lot of the market is based out of the United States.
Yeah.
And in the United States, on the whole, it did not do very well. And there's just been a lot of negative things that have gone on in the fandom. And they need as much money and as much involvement as they can with this movie to make it a success.
On that point, I'm always thinking that... I'm always questioning if it would have done better if it wouldn't have had all the controversy around the cast.
Probably. I agree with that.
Because the story itself, yes, was criticized a lot as well, but I think the main point why it did so bad was because of all the trouble that we had with the cast and all the stories that were going on there.
Yeah.
I think that's something we should always keep in mind.
Yeah, well, I think that's just the extra shovel that has dug this movie into the deep hole that it needs to pull itself out of. One of the ways that this movie is going to pull itself out of that hole is going to have to be some fan service items, and why I think that Dumbledore's name itself is in the title anyway, and a huge pull for anyone who's a casual Harry Potter fan would have been calling it The Life and Lies of Albus Dumbledore. You would have expanded your audience like tenfold, because even people who probably haven't seen the first two probably would have gone to see that one. Just from a marketing standpoint, it seems like the smart decision. Do I know if there are any kind of legalities around it that they couldn't use that title for some reason? From a pure marketing standpoint, it was just downright stupid not to call it The Life and Lies of Albus Dumbledore, because you would have literally multiplied your audience by 10, at least.
I kind of feel like it's something we all have been waiting for so long. And I have, at least in the circle of people that I have seen, so many have been very negative and disappointed about the title. But in the end, it is also only a title, and it's not
that much different from what people are kind of demanding, but
yeah,
it's either way, whatever title they would have chosen, people would have probably still criticized it very much, because this fandom, sadly, not all of us, but too many of us have started to be so negative about every single thing that comes our way from that franchise. Mm-hmm. And I kind of feel like it would have not been that much different if it would have been a different title. And if you would have done it the way that you would have suggested now and call it after that book, people would have said that, ah, this is only because they want to pull more people in because it reminds us of Harry Potter. And there would have been just as badly a reaction to that as well, I think. So it's kind of funny to me that...
Yeah.
No matter what you would have done, I think people would have been unhappy with it.
Yeah. So my other hill that I will die on is that...
That's hill number four.
Yeah, well, probably like 27 at this point. The reason they did not go with The Life and Lies of Albus Dumbledore, as I am campaigning for, is because, and many other people have expressed this as well too, that Dumbledore doesn't refer to just Albus Dumbledore. They are referring to the Dumbledore family on the whole and anyone else who bears that name. So I think that might be the rationale behind this, because The Secrets of Dumbledore leaves it open to anyone who is bearing the name of Dumbledore, not just Albus Dumbledore, whereas The Life and Lies of Albus Dumbledore is clearly about Albus Dumbledore.
Yeah.
So if Credence is a Dumbledore, which... Juliana is in the camp of hoping that he's not. People come at me. I don't really care. I think that opens the door for that. And then maybe we meet Aberforth. Maybe we meet some other people who are part of the Dumbledore lineage. Anyone to step into that Dumbledore quote-unquote role. So I think that might be a reason why.
Yeah. Just to... give also Josh his voice still. He basically agrees with you on this in many ways. He says that, I think it's a little bit copy and paste, and if they actually meant for the movies to be about Newt and the Beasties, then they should have focused on that. Yep. At this point, it's just a build-up to Dumbies and Grindygrave's story, which I don't really have a problem with, but don't mask it as something else to get people to buy it and all that.
Yeah, I think he's right. Don't think we're going to get too much of an actual Newt storyline. I'm sure he'll be there and he'll be some kind of plot device that moves the story along, but this isn't his franchise anymore.
Yeah. Well, from my side, it's I'm one of those, and I know, for example, Marjolaine is also one of those, or used to be. I'm not sure what's her standpoint right now, but I think she's still in the same on the same side that I want to know everything, so whatever they give me, I definitely want to know Dumbledore's story, from what his past has been like, what was his story with Grindelwald in all detail. But I do have to also agree, on the other hand, that I am really afraid that Newt is going to be more and more pushed to the side, and that's what we initially were really excited about, to have him, and especially
a Hufflepuff.
Yes, exactly. That it's, again, such a typical move that for once we are getting someone who is really awesome and that we can learn something about, and he's a Hufflepuff, and we really didn't get much time in these stories of Harry, that it's being kind of very big, on a very big scale, overshadowed now by the story of Grindelwald and Dumbledore and Credence. And even though I love all these characters and I love their stories so far, I am a little bit afraid, that he's gonna be more and more of a side character. And it's still called Fantastic Beasts, but why is the question? Why not give them, then at least drop the Fantastic Beasts and give it its very own title, and if you're going in that direction anyway?
Yeah, I think that this movie franchise start, like, clearly from the first movie, started out as a story about Newt and his friends. And then the second movie took it in a direction that was further away from that. And then just given all the events and the time that has passed, everything else that has happened, I have a strong feeling that this will be the Grinda Dumble, Dumble Grindy, Grindy Dumb movie.
Yeah.
Movie series. And I agree with you and Marjolaine, where I want the Newt storyline. Like, I really want that too. But I also, Dumbledore is my favorite character. Yeah. I want the Dumbledore storyline too. I would have absolutely loved if they did two separate movies.
Yes.
So why can we not just have both?
Okay. But with that, I think we should wrap this one
up. Yeah, I could probably talk about this for like at least an hour and a half. So yeah, let's keep going.
In the future, we will have some more in-depth conversation about the first and second Fantastic Beasts movie, and we're gonna dive more into that. But for the sake of time management, we should maybe move on to the next point now, which is a very lovely email from Andre. Would you like to go through it and we can like pick some points and talk about
them? Sure. So this comes from our dear friend Andre, and he said, "Hello, my dears. First, I just wanted to say that I love the episode. The idea of the What If segment highlights how amazing you guys are. Heart emoji. About the points presented, I believe that there are external beliefs, for example, what they teach us, and core values, those that are innate to each individual internally. Harry, despite having a lot of Slytherin characteristics, has moral values, which go against the values of dark wizards. I believe that Harry and Draco could indeed be colleagues. However, Draco changed his external belief. I still see the same struggle as always, but this time, more touching. Just imagine King Slytherin competing for attention with the quote-unquote boy who lived, or both competing for a seeker position on the Slytherin team. Other key points. If Harry were a Slytherin, he wouldn't have dueled in book two against Draco, but someone from another house, Gilderoy's choice. That is, there would be no snake for his Parseltongue to be shown to the other students, so the mystery of who is the heir would continue. Along these lines, we might even think that either Harry would have never discovered the secret chamber, or Ginny would be dead, or he would die against the basilisk, and there would be no Gryffindor's sword. And he asks, would Dobby be a free elf? That is it. I have a lot more theories in my head. I love the episodes. Big kiss and stay puffy. Thank you, Andre.
Yeah, that's a lot to discuss. I have shortened it a tiny bit because it has been very, very long. But he has several really nice points in here, and I thought that we could talk about them shortly.
Yes, I definitely like the point about the duel in book two. So here's my hot take, is I don't know how friendly Draco and Harry would have been within Slytherin House. I feel like there still would have been a rivalry, and you and I actually talked about that, Mel. So I don't think it would have been unheard of for them to duel at that dueling club thing, because Gilderoy Lockhart seems to be the best at picking the people who hate each other the most, and I have a strong feeling that Draco and Harry would still dislike each other quite a lot. Lucius would take Harry under his wing, and Draco would be competing for his father's attention even more so than he already is.
Yeah, that's what he goes on about here in this part, where he says that he still sees the same struggle happening even if Harry is in Slytherin, but this time that it would be harder for Draco. They would be both competing even more, because now, as he gives the example as the seeker position in Slytherin team, that only one could be the seeker.
Yeah. And it would probably be Harry, let's be real.
Yeah, clearly Harry is much better than Draco in this, and he would definitely win, and that would add more and more to the disappointment of Lucius in his son.
Yeah.
Yeah, he would have it harder.
I have a question for our listeners, and potentially you, Mel, if you'd like to answer. But listeners, so if this was the scenario that played out, and Harry and Draco are both in Slytherin House, and they're competing against each other, and Harry is per se winning because he's with Draco's dad a lot of the time, and he's the seeker, and he's just the boy who lived, so he has a lot of stuff and attention on him. Do we think that Draco, with all of his being and all of his enthusiasm, would actually go to Voldemort to become a Death Eater? Because he doesn't really want to do it in the actual canon, because his dad is kind of making him. Do you think because he was so downtrodden, he would go to his last resort and seek out Voldemort himself and actively become almost the new generation of Voldemort?
Ooh.
This is a thought that I'm having, and a question I would like answered, listeners.
Oh, I leave it to you, listeners. I think that's a very good question.
Yes.
That could definitely be one of those moments where we will go off on a tangent and we will not return, and we don't have that much time
today. No, we won't come back. But I will also say that Andre makes a good point about Ginny in the Chamber of Secrets. Ginny would probably honestly be dead because Harry wouldn't really know Ginny because he's not in Gryffindor and she's very quiet during that time frame.
Yeah, she doesn't mean anything to him.
Yeah, and even within the Gryffindor house, in the scenario where Harry is a Gryffindor, she's still almost non-existent to him. He wouldn't even know who she was. He would have no clue who this girl was if he was in Slytherin. And there's also no way he would get the Sword of Gryffindor. And you're not stabbing a basilisk with Slytherin's locket, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
It's true that if things played out the way that they did in Fortunblast, then yeah, I think Ginny would also be dead unless there was some other weird, really valiant Gryffindor person who just so happened to clock Ginny Weasley. And also know Parseltongue, and also have friends who make advanced potions.
With the Parseltongue, I actually have to say that, well, we would actually not have the situation with the snake and all, with the dueling session that Gilderoy sets up. But do you think he would be just talking to the basilisk and try to
coax it,
sway it off its path? Would he still have the same confrontation with Tom Riddle? There are so many questions.
My other question is, do you think the Slytherins have pet snakes in their common room? Because if they did, then Harry would know he could talk to snakes probably from his first day being in the Slytherin common room. I imagine there has to be at least one Slytherin who has a pet snake. There can't not be a pet snake in the Slytherin common room. And I'm sure Harry would spend his first night talking to whoever snake this was, because he'd be like, holy crap, I can talk to snakes. I will be talking to the snake all night. Leave me alone.
He would have probably found out through another Slytherin that Parseltongue exists and what that is.
And he probably would learn that the Gaunt family is the only known line of Parseltongues within the Slytherin common room. So he would probably be treated like a Slytherin god.
Being at the source of this, he might have found out quicker than in the canon where where he needs longer and he has the help of Hermione, who is just so smart to find out about the basilisk and all. So yeah, I did not think we would have even more questions in the end than... But the very important one remaining for me personally is Andre asking if Dobby would be a free elf.
Ooh, I think it would depend on how much reverence Harry had for Mr. Malfoy at that point in time. Because I could see even Slytherin Harry being valiant and trying to free Dobby. But I think it would depend on how scared he was of Mr. Malfoy.
Yeah.
In our pseudo-canon, he spends a lot of time with Lucius and really looks up to him. So I don't know if he'd free his most loyal servant. Though, maybe Dobby is so annoying and Harry's around him so much that he's like, I need this elf to go away immediately. I will give him my sock. He will be free. I will never have to hear that voice ever again.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. I would wish that he would be free anyway in some way.
Yeah.
Let's hope for the best.
Yeah.
Okay, to wrap this whole thing up, we still wanted to give you the answer of the bonus Buttercups and Spencer's question from last episode where we had trivia with Spencer.
Yeah.
Spencer's question was, Malfoy charges up to Buckbeak. He says that he must not be very dangerous and calls him a great ugly brute. Buckbeak slashes Malfoy's arm and Hagrid carries him to the nurse. Malfoy says, you are going to regret this. You and blank. The correct answer was, you are going to regret this. You and your bloody chicken. And so far, the correct answers came from Gryffindork27 and Margaret. So good job, girls.
Yay! Yeah, because I had to delete the original post because I put the answer in the actual... in the.
Yes!
I was so tired that I did not realize that I had copy and pasted the answer too.
Yeah, and Margaret had already put her answer under it.
Yeah, because I had to archive
so
that.
So I would have given you a shout out anyway, Margaret, because I saw it. And
that was a Juliana mistake.
It was two oopsies by us. I said the wrong year. You already gave the answer in the post. Mm-hmm. Now we have corrected it. I would still like to give an extra shout out to everyone that took part to our trivia on our social media. Lots of you have answered almost every question correctly. So here goes to Margaret, Kaylee, Looney for Mooney, Gryffindork, Eve, The Lost Weasley Child, Nocturne Alley Gifts, Ev, Sophie, and Phantom Rose 91. Thank you for taking part. And I think that's it for our feedback and news section.
Yes, and the only last bit of news we have is that this month we will be donating to
the Worldwide Orphans Foundation. This one was suggested by our friend Anu, and this month we are donating to help their mission in transforming the lives of orphans and at-risk children by providing access to education, medical care, and psychosocial support so they become independent, productive members of their communities and the world. They help children in at-risk conditions to play, learn, and thrive. If you would like to help and contribute on your own, you can find the link to donate in our info box. So thank you, Patreons, for helping us out once again. You're on the cannon ground, I'm up in crack ship space. Let's start a shipping war, don't care if I get hate. Don't like my bearings, well then you can hit the bricks. This is my OTP, I'll go down with this ship. I don't care, a ship it. I don't care. Hi, I'm Megs.
And I'm Nathan.
And welcome to Care of Magical Shippers, your Harry Potter ship culture podcast.
We're here to answer all of your shipping questions, like, what is a ship? Why do we ship? And where in the world did that ship come from? From pairings in canon to the rarest pairs of them all.
So join us as we discuss all the magical ships the Harry Potter fandom has to offer.
So click subscribe, or else you won't know when new episodes drop.
You can find us at careofmagicalshippers.com, magicalshippod on Instagram and Twitter, and careofmagicalshippers on Tumblr and Patreon.
So grab your life vest, because we are going down with these ships.
Now it's time for you to enjoy a Halloween fanfiction! Woohoo! Ooh. Featuring our friends Nathan and Megs from Care of Magical Shippers. Enjoy! I guess we'll start our fanfiction reading. So our main discussion this week is two fanfiction readings within the same episode. The first one is a fanfiction that we concocted together on Discord, and I was part of it. I don't know the end result. I only know what I typed and what came before me, but that was changed up every time. So literally no idea where this is going. Megs has edited it, so it makes sense because, as we learned earlier, Juliana uses voice to text, and voice to text likes to use its creative license sometimes and come up with new words.
Absolutely. So. It was a joy. Yeah, so pretty much how it worked was we played a game where each of us wrote for 2 minutes, and the only thing we knew to go off of was what the person before us wrote. So it's kind of like a build a story with only part of the information times however many rounds, and then we have our cracky finished product. So yeah, it was Nathan and myself and Juliana wrote this amazing work of art.
I cannot wait to hear
it. I think art
it.
Is definitely the word to use. Yeah. I haven't heard it yet, but it I have art. A very strong feeling that this is art.
It is art.
Art, darling.
Okay, so I guess we'll let you guys take it from here, because I think you have decided who's going to read what, and Mel and I are just here to react and listen and just so enjoy excited. This creative work of art.
Art.
I'm so excited. Pizza with a Side of Tango, a Halloween fanfic by Nathan, Megs, and Juliana. The pumpkins were quite large this year. Hagrid was rolling them toward the dais between the four tables in the Great Hall. Being as large as he was, even he was struggling. Professor Flitwick came to the rescue when Wingardium Leviosa-ing the pumpkins across the room.
"Reminds me of Cinderella," said Hermione. "The pumpkin carriage, you know." But as it turned out, Muggle fairy tales were not as popular at Hogwarts as Hermione may have thought. People really should have compulsory Muggle studies lessons from first year, she mused.
Some Halloweens had been scary enough, though. She thought of the mountain troll. Little did she know that this year things would get crazy.
Okay.
Okie dokie.
Are you ready for this?
I mean, I'm wearing a squid with toast on my head. How much more ready can I be? Like, let's be real here. This is as ready as you're ever going to get me.
Okay, fair enough. Let's go. One day, She came to the Great Hall and saw that something wasn't right. But what exactly could it be?
Well, she thought to herself, something just smells kind of off in here. She looked around and she could see that there was some kind of mist wafting in the air. It reminded her of being in a pizza shop for some wild reason, but she wasn't quite sure why.
Okay, sorry, but that must have been written by Juliana.
That was me.
It was definitely Juliana.
I think the pizza gave it away.
She didn't notice that there was a new professor at the table in front of the hall. He was possibly wearing some kind of helmet. Maybe a weird hat.
I forgot I wrote that.
She squinted so she could get a little bit closer to see what his hat looked like, which happened to be a diver's helmet.
Okay.
He was standing... over a large cauldron, one that Hermione would have seen in a Muggle children's book's representation of witches brewing. The smell of pizza grew stronger as she approached. Amortentia, she whispered, just as the man removed his helmet.
I'm sorry, I know what's coming, and I can get through this. It was Victor Krum, Hermione.
Oh, yeah!
I'll do his line again. Hermione.
She gaped at the man. Krum, what on earth are you doing here? Explain.
Victor Krum stared at her. I came for Halloween to bring you the spookiest treat of all. I don't know why he's Transylvanian. I'm just going to go with it.
I love it.
I came for Halloween to bring you spookiest treat of all time. Pizza! I know this is your favorite dish, and I also came to sing you a song. It's a song that I wrote all by myself, and it's all about pizza and Halloween together. Would you like to hear it?
Oh no, I don't know if I'm ready for that.
Hermione blushed. Of course I would.
Then Victor began to sing. Halloween is spooky, and I am a total dandy. The only reason I like it so much is because of all the candy.
Oh my god. Is any one of us breathing?
I cannot. Well, Victor, I'm sorry to tell you, but there was no pizza in that song.
No, not one bit.
Nathan, did you write the song?
I did write the song. It was a 2-minute pressure-filled window, okay? I didn't see pizza. Don't hate me.
No, it's perfect.
It's a great it's song. Perfect. It's a great song.
Halloween is spooky, and I have a total dandy. I'm sorry, Kate. Okay, anyway.
And that's the main reason he came to see Hermione, too, was to sing her that song. That's why he came all the way.
From Transylvania.
From Transylvania.
Hermione loved Victor's song so much, she was a little open-mouthed. Nothing could have prepared her for how stunning his singing voice was. She had no idea he was a tenor. She was stunned and in absolute shock. Hermione looked like she had been petrified.
But she looked like she really had been petrified. Maybe Krum was working some kind of dark magic here. I mean, he is someone who went to one of the darkest wizarding schools known to man, so I wouldn't put it past this boy to be doing dark magic. Suddenly, Nathan broke down. Suddenly, Hermione fell flat on her face, and the whole school in the Great Hall noticed. And uh-oh. Krum swiftly stepped in front of her and said, "Nothing to see here."
Harry and Ron came running toward them, their fists banging on Krum's chest. "Give us Hermione! What did you do to her?"
Oh my.
Krum placed a hand on each one of the boys' foreheads as he pushed them back. "She will be doing just fine," he said.
Suddenly, Hermione sprung to her feet again. What in Merlin?
Then all the ghosts were there, dancing. The ghosts had in fact reformed their full orchestra, and, bolstered by their rave reviews after nearly Headless Nick's Death Day party, decided that they were going to perform a full set of music inspired by Muggle trance. To everyone's surprise, Snape was loving this most of all. He was dancing and twirling his cloak with abandon, lost in rhythm.
Harry gaped at the man, dizzy as he watched him twirl around as all the students fell into a deep slumber. Hermione, Ron, and Harry were the only ones left awake apart from the animated Professor Snape.
Potter, he snapped, I challenge you to a dance-off.
No!
Oh, yeah!
Hermione and Ron gasped as Harry quaked in his boots at the thought of a dance battle with the professionally trained breakdancing ballerina Severus Snape. Oh, yes, I love a dance-off, moaned Myrtle.
Harry and Snape immediately assumed a tango hold and danced the most intricate, beautifully mesmerizing Argentine Myrtle had ever seen. She squeaked with delight as their limbs flailed everywhere, their eyes brilliant with the excitement of showing off their new choreography. Years of animosity fell away as the music swept them up in its melody.
Snape truly was in his element. He was letting himself live his best life, and he did not care if anyone saw him. Far off in the crowd, he saw a set of eyes that he recognized for some reason. Could it be? Yes! It was Professor Lockhart!
Snape saw those adoring eyes from across the corner of the room, and he knew he had to go towards him. He sauntered his way across the ballroom and made swish, a curtsy swish, in front of Lockhart.
Swish. Sorry.
It's just such a stunning visual.
Yes.
Like, this was exquisitely written.
Yes. Snape is so extra.
You have to imagine he's holding his cloak with both hands on the side.
Oh, yes. Like, extended as he's like, let it going, you know? Like, picture Elsa yes. with her, like, absolutely. Her whatever train just going, and she's just like, here I am. But it's, you know, it's Snape.
He sauntered his way across the ballroom and made a curtsy in front of Lockhart, to whom he said, My dearest Lockhart, how doth thou be? I have missed you so much, and I came back to claim your heart.
Lockhart looked at Snape in utter shock, but also in excitement, to which he said, Snape, I've been waiting to marry you my entire life. Let me marry you right now in front of the entire Great Hall.
Snape and Lockhart married each other at that exact moment with a ring made from bits of food that had fallen on the ground. And they lived happily ever after. The end.
Applause.
That was beautiful.
Wow. That was a journey. I still have tears in my eyes.
That was definitely a journey.
Mm-hmm. May I, Professor Madame Spooch, award for this masterpiece, each house 50 points.
Wow.
I feel so validated.
Good job, lovelies. Good job. I'm very proud of you.
What sound do squids make? Like a clicking noise? Line?
I don't. They have a beak, I guess, so I don't know. Yeah.
Presumably they make a lot of swooshing sounds with their tentacles
true.
In the water.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So.
Just like a gentle
whoosh. Yeah, and then the giant squid was there. That's all it needed. We needed the giant squid.
And he said, Snape, I thought you loved me.
Drama.
I'll just have to go back to toast.
I thought you me and toast were going to be in a polyamorous relationship together. Yeah. It's so what funny. Happened to our promise of love?
Good job, guys.
Thank you both for reading that and
you're welcome.
For compiling that and making it make any form of sense.
Luckily, the next one, well, I mean, it's still probably kind of silly, but at least it's like this is a, well, not to say real, because that was a fanfic for sure. Yeah, we have a little bit more of a coherent, plot-driven, streamlined narrative to to follow with the next
one. Not just so random.
Yes. That's all I really want from a story. A coherent narrative. A beginning, a middle, and an end.
Okay, so our second story is one that you have written, Meg.
Yes.
And you said you wrote it about like a year ago?
Yep.
As your first fan fiction ever.
Yeah, first fan fiction for the Fanatical Fix Halloween competition. And it actually got the Drarry Award. So, spoiler, it's really? A Drarry fic.
Wow, and it has an award. Wow.
Yeah, wow. I think I got like 10 points for Slytherin or something like that. So, very exciting.
Let's see if the professor might double the points in the end for you.
Ooh.
Do you just want to dive right into this one?
Yep.
Go for it.
There's some romance happening in this. So just, you know, letting you know, it's obviously a Drarry and there's some love happenings.
Oh, do we have tags?
Well, there's Myrtle's there and it's on Halloween. And I think it's eighth year because it's after everything and, you know, kind of like the Draco redemption arc situation. I mean, it's a short fic, so it's not like he's really getting a full redemption arc, but he gets one with Harry. So it just... Okay, so it's called That Bloody Bathroom by Megs, a.k.a. Drarry Quite Contrary, a.k.a. Green Megs No Ham. I was formerly Drarry Quite Contrary when I first started writing because I only wrote Drarry, and then now I write so many things. So I was like, that's silly. So Nathan came up with Green Megs No Ham, and I fell in love with it. So so there we go.
That is a great name.
It's so good. Harry never quite knew how to feel about Halloween. It was the anniversary of his parents' deaths, and it was hard to enjoy the holiday truly. However, a Halloween back at Hogwarts was welcome after everything that they had been through the past year. He was back home, even if it was only for one more year.
The Halloween feasts were always magnificent to behold. Harry, Ron especially, was looking forward to the tables overflowing with candied treats, baked pies, custard cakes, and hot spiced ciders. Ron had even spelled a few bottles of butter beer to look like pumpkin juice for the evening. Oh, Harry would need one.
Hagrid's carved pumpkins were legendary. He took pride in his perfectly pampered pumpkins, which grew more massive year after year. From hippogriffs and unicorns to thestrals and nifflers, it was always a treat to see what the large man would delicately carve. This year, however, Hagrid had gone too far.
Oh no.
Harry stepped into the great hall, his face drained of colour, mouth agape at the sight before him. Nearly the size of a double-decker bus, a glowing pumpkin was floating among the candles above the house tables, featuring an intricate carving of Harry's face.
What?
With "Cheers to our saviour, Harry Potter," written on it.
Great.
A blush tinged Harry's cheeks.
This is huge.
Yeah, this is a big pumpkin.
His face must, and it's floating above the whole Great Hall?
Yes.
Yeah, it's massive, and it's not subtle.
Wow.
I can literally see him melt into the floor and disappear from being ashamed.
Bye!
A blush tinged Harry's cheeks. He wanted to run. As he whirled around to make a break for it, he slammed straight into Draco Malfoy, nearly knocking the boy to the ground.
With seeker-like reflexes, Harry grabbed Malfoy by the waist. Startled by the immediate proximity to the blonde boy, he let go. His cheeks were flaming, but for a very different reason. Staggering to stand upright, a stunned and sneering Malfoy spat, "Salazar Potter, need some bloody new glasses. You'll be the death of me yet."
"Malfoy, I..." Harry choked on the words. Malfoy nearly died at his hands. His mouth went dry and his chest clenched tight.
"What the bloody hell am I looking at?" Draco had pulled his steely gaze to the ornament above them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we're back to the pumpkin,
back to
aren't
the pumpkin.
We?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the story was it had to have, what was it? The challenge was it had to be have a pumpkin as a plot device. There had to feature a ghost, and it was on Halloween. So the pumpkin was necessary.
Ooh, okay, okay.
Just in the words of Fanatical Fix, hold for the text, please. Because the next line is so good. "It was too much. Malfoy, the pumpkin, Malfoy looking at the pumpkin. Harry couldn't take it. Harry ran from the Great Hall, but quickly came to a halt. What now? Everyone will be at the feast. Ron and Hermione would notice his absence, then come looking for him. So the dormitory was out. Crab had destroyed the room of requirement.
Oh no.
His stomach twisted at the memory.
But not everyone would be at the feast. His memories flashed to the girls' bathroom, where Hermione brewed a Polyjuice potion, where he found Riddle's diary. The same bathroom where Harry nearly... No, he wouldn't think of it. Not now. He was sure she would be there, and the feast guaranteed they wouldn't be bothered.
Harry made his way to the second floor. Opening the door to Moaning Myrtle's bathroom brought a flash of pain to Harry's chest as he gazed upon the floor to where Draco had nearly bled out below him. So much blood, tears stung at his eyes. He had almost killed him. This is the censored version of this?
Hey, it's canonical violence, so...
Yeah, it is. It's fine.
And that's okay.
It resolves to something else. It's a it moment does. We need to go
yes.
through.
Yes, he needs to emotionally yeah. feel that pain.
So anyway, feeling the pain, there's an awful lot of blood. He took a deep breath and entered. Myrtle, you in here?
Harry, is that you? Why are you here? Isn't there a feast you should be attending? She responded morosely from a nearby stall.
Myrtle, I meant to, talk to you.
Jeez, he's so breathy.
He's just seen blood. He's just remembered how dramatic he can be.
Yeah, drama. Yeah. Myrtle, talk to you. After floating through the stall door, she perked up at the sight of Harry. You wanted to spend Halloween together? How tragic. How romantic. The silvery ghost of a blush brightened her cheeks as she clasped her hands and sighed against them.
Well, Myrtle... I wanted to say I'm sorry. Sorry for what I did to Malfoy in front of you. I didn't know what was going to happen. Honestly, I'd never have done it if I knew, he pleaded. I know you two were, close.
Myrtle's face looked grave. He's a sweet boy, you know, misunderstood, like me. He would talk, I would listen. No one ever just listened to him before, she said, and with another deep sigh. Though I haven't seen him once since you all came back after the war. Seems to be a wizard trait, she huffed, giving Harry a pointed stare. She hadn't forgiven Harry for not returning after their second year.
Also, sorry for that too, Harry gulped. Listen, are you willing to talk about Malfoy?
Myrtle squinted her eyes at him. Why?
I know Draco felt so alone since our sixth year. I can't imagine what he must have been going through. Voldemort, his parents, Dumbledore. A twinge of pain returned at the thought of Dumbledore. He started to pace and run his hands through his hair. I wanted to know if there's anything I could have done differently, or can do now. I don't know. I hated him. I blamed him for so many things that weren't his fault. Suppose I just paid more attention, looked for the good in him, the good I see now. Then maybe he wouldn't hate me.
He didn't hate you.
Harry froze. What?
He didn't hate you, Harry. Everything he did, the choices he made. He only wanted to protect his parents, his friends, and you.
Harry blinked and started to pace again. But what? That doesn't make any sense. He was trying to kill Dumbledore and fix a cabinet to let Death Eaters into Hogwarts. How does that protect me? He exclaimed, exasperated.
Oh my god, I forgot, she says. Myrtle sighed. You know who made him choose? Kill Dumbledore or seduce you?
Okay. Okay. I mean, that is definitely a choice.
And apparently kill Dumbledore was the route that he decided to take.
This is morally reproachable. This is absolute concrete writing. I buy it.
Absolutely. They have the same consequences. They have the same payout. So it's mm-hmm. just really a flip of the coin to see which one you're going to do.
Choose your own adventure style.
What? Harry laughed, his chest constricting once again. I still don't understand. To protect what? My virtue or something? It sounds like he's protecting his perfect pure-blood self from the indecent company of Harry Potter. If cold-blooded murder was more appealing, he spat. Harry's cheeks were on fire. Seduce me? Why? What was Voldemort thinking? What was Malfoy thinking?
You know who wanted you dead, yes? He had Malfoy under his power. He knew his secret and wanted to exploit it. If Malfoy got to you, you were also his.
Secret? What secret?
Oh, Harry, he's in love with you.
His stomach dropped and the butterflies unleashed.
Wow.
It couldn't be right. No, it was a joke. A sick joke, that prat. He was disgusted by Harry. There was no way he could be in love. How could Voldemort even... Ah, legilimency. Harry cleared his throat. Well, even so, that was over a year ago. He can't still love me.
Sorrow filled her eyes. Oh, Harry, he's been in love with you since Madame Malkin's your first year. I doubt 1 year would make any difference.
Really? That's how he shows love?
Yeah.
A lot of people have a lot of different love languages.
To be fair, think of his home life. Like, break down some home trauma. Yeah. He doesn't know how to love. His family didn't know how to appropriately show him affection. So he's just that schoolboy who makes fun of the girl and is mean to her. He's got his Potter shrine in the closet, but then he's totally, like, so mean to him.
He's like, ha 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 ha, how can I make things bad for Harry to show him that I love him?
Because it's theatrical. It's theatrical and he drama. Gets to be... Yes.
Drama.
How? How do you know all this?
Because I told her, Potter.
Ooh.
Harry froze. He turned his head ever so slightly. It was Malfoy. He thought Draco was glaring at him, but then he noticed Myrtle was slowly floating toward her stall.
I'll just flush myself. Excuse me. With a whoosh, Myrtle was gone.
Bye.
Harry gulped and turned around. Malfoy was now only 2 steps away from him. He forced himself to rip his gaze from his feet and into those fierce silver-grey eyes.
Wow.
However, they weren't intense this time. They were glassy and soft, almost afraid.
It's getting serious. There's a lot of descriptions about these eyes. I feel as...
I love eyes. It's just, it's definitely my thing.
Draco's eyes must just be everything. That's really all it comes down to.
Draco is like 9/10 eye. It's just huge, huge eyes and then the rest of his body.
He's an eyeball the size of the pumpkin that we saw at the beginning of the fan fiction.
Yes, with a wisp of blonde hair. Yeah.
I imagine him looking like Mike from Monsters, Inc., except with blonde hair. And
my father will hear about this.
Except
this is the version of Draco that I choose to believe exists.
Not how I'd imagined you finding out. Though I was planning to take it to my grave, assuming it wouldn't be too far away, Draco said casually.
Don't say that. Harry took half a step forward, but then stepped back again. But you didn't die. You're here now. After a short pause, Harry said, how did you know I was here?
Draco smirked. After 7 years, I've become the master of stalking Harry Potter. Of course, I had to know.
Yeah, I guess.
Of course, I had to know where you were running off to.
Especially when you can just roll down the hallways and hide behind things. Giant eyeball coming through. Here we go.
Oh, yep. Roll. Oh, God. Yeah, you can easily keep an eye on Harry. That's for sure.
Always in his line of sight.
Yeah. Oh, and here we go. More eyes.
He can't keep a lid on his affections.
Jesus.
Just blink and he's gone.
Oh, my gosh. Oh. The puns. What's a feast without being able to glare at you from across the room? Though there was a lovely replacement.
Harry let out a short laugh. The pumpkin. I'm sorry, you know, for what happened here. For hating you, mistrusting you, for everything. Eyes once again stung with tears as he looked at the ground.
You mean I?
All those in favour say aye.
I.
Draco stepped forward and placed a reluctant hand on Harry's shoulder. He could feel the heat of Draco's palm through his robes. I didn't make it easy. In fact, that's the exact response I was looking for. Glad to know I succeeded. He gave Harry a mischievous grin.
This is weird, said Harry, still looking at the ground. Draco immediately let go of Harry and took a step back as if he'd burned his hand. Harry looked up and grabbed his wrist. No, no, not this. He gestured to the two of them, the not-so-prickly and out-for-blood Draco. You're actually being... It's nice. You're nice. Harry coughed.
So this, Draco took a step forward, their noses nearly touching. Isn't weird?
No. Harry held his breath. He couldn't breathe.
Draco... Oh, Grig, more eyes. Draco looked deep into Harry's emerald green eyes, searching desperate for any sign of reluctance. He leaned forward slightly, his breath on Harry's lips. And this?
Harry grabbed the front of Draco's robes and pulled him in the rest of the way. Their lips met with such force that Harry was afraid he might have hurt him. But Draco's whole body responded, deepening the kiss. My favourite expression in all of fanfiction.
Favourite line.
Deepening the kiss. Thank you, yeah. Fanfiction gods. Okay.
That's why I had you read it.
One hand in Harry's unruly hair and one around his waist, pulling him close. The bathroom door swung open with a bang. Malfoy, get the hell away from Harry.
The two boys looked up in shock, still tightly locked in each other's arms, robes disheveled. Ron stood there, gaping, the Marauder's map in hand. Footsteps rang through the hallway. Ron, what's going on? Is Harry all right? Hermione froze in the doorway.
Someone, please explain what is happening right now. Even Ron's freckles had gone pale.
Ron, hissed Hermione.
Well, Harry looked at Draco.
Draco gave Ron a smouldering look. Mind giving us some privacy, Weasley? Potter and I are otherwise engaged.
Wow.
We'll talk to you later, Harry, Hermione questioned while tugging a petrified Ron into the hallway. Her eyes said, are you okay?
Yeah, later. Harry gave her a nervous smile.
She nodded. The bathroom door closed behind them. How long I've been waiting for this, said Draco, silver eyes meeting green.
Eyes everywhere!
There's so many eyes. I was so into eyes. Oh, good lord.
This is the Aragog of fanfiction, because there's more eyes.
Oh my goodness, yes.
Harry smiled at the blonde. Me too. I'm not sure how long, but it feels like it could have been longer than I imagined. He gave Draco a soft kiss. Every time you open your mouth with a snide comment or insult, I've always wanted to make you shut up. Not with a wand, not with my fists, like this.
Okay.
The next line. The next. I will get through this.
You got this, Nick. You got this.
Okay. Harry smashed them.
Why?
Harry smashed their mouths together. In a bruising kiss, their hands once again entangled in each other's hair.
What an image, just like...
I know! It's not romantic at all!
Teeth chattering and...
Harry has not researched kissing before he's attempted this. He's just like, well, I suppose we have to run at each other and meet in the middle.
This is what snogging really looks like.
This is wizard snogging.
Abruptly, Draco shoved Harry away, then immediately grabbed the front of his robes.
Harry let out a gasp. His eyes widened in shock.
Draco smiled at him sinisterly. You have your work cut out for you then, Potter. You know how I love to run my mouth. The end.
Wow.
We did it.
Oh my god.
Well, that was a lovely fanfiction, Meg.
That was great.
I loved it.
It was a ride. Because it had been a while since I don't even know last time I like read this. But it's like reading back, I'm like, oh lord, this is one of my first. So many ridiculous things. But it's fun. It's so much fun.
Yeah,
okay?
so good. So fanfic wholesome.
Yeah. The tropes are just the best. When you can play into a good trope, you got a good thing going for you.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the difference between snogging and face smashing?
There is no difference. That's the same thing.
Obviously not.
Yeah. Are there any points for the house?
My dear Megs, after considering this wonderful fanfic that you wrote and the presentation, I'm going to give you 30 points for your house.
Thank you.
Very well done.
Thank you.
And another extra 10 points to our friend Nathan, because his delivery was very crucial and very wonderful.
Definitely crucial.
Oh, yes. As the giant squid, I would like to say that I stand behind both these choices. Thank you very much. Toast for all after.
That was quite fun. I very much enjoyed that.
It was an eye-opener.
It was such an eye-opener.
Well done. You deserve points for that.
I know, exactly.
Thank you.
My goodness.
As a joint squid, I'd like to give 100 points to
Hufflepuff. Whoa! Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
That's very kind of you. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm off to go eat more toast. Goodbye.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, thank you guys for that lovely fanfiction and the previous one as well. Both were
You're
so
welcome.
Enjoyable.
Thanks for letting us read to you.
And in return, we are going to play a game with you now.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Juliana, would you like to introduce it?
Yes, yeah, so we will be playing the game that we play with all of our lovely guests, and it is called Are You Puffin' Kidding Me? This is the game where each person has one fact, quote unquote, that they will tell about themselves to the group. The group must then vote if the person is telling the truth or puffing with them. And then each person who is guessing can ask one question of the person giving the statement. And as we normally do with our guests, we like to give you the opportunity to go first. So if either Megs or Nathan would like to go first, looks like you guys wrote almost small novels.
Well, they are a fan fiction podcast. What are you expecting?
Yes. Staying true to form.
We have thoughts. Yes.
We were ready for a press conference.
Yes.
Exactly.
So my fact is, my grandparents growing up would let my sister and I pick out our own cereal. I would always get Waffle Crisps while my sister got Oreo O's. So there was one morning while my sister slept in, I decided to sneak a bowl of her Oreo O's. She then woke up, saw me, caught red-handed with the box of Oreo O's and a bowl, half consumed, ran to the knife block and pulled out a knife, and I ran screaming into my grandparents' bedroom, and needless to say, I never ate her cereal ever again.
Welcome to the Halloween episode.
And Megs is a ghost.
Yeah.
And this is where we reveal we've been talking to a ghost the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
Because I am one of four kids, Megs. I'm the oldest, mm-hmm. and I will say I've definitely done that before 100 times.
Pulling a knife on your sibling?
Well, my brother kind of did that once, but that's another story on itself. They're very defensive. Cereal, I'm telling you what. You go to the store with your mom and you pick out your cereal, and that's mm-hmm. your cereal.
Absolutely. Wow.
I think that this is a true statement, Meg, because I have lived this reality.
I am just wondering, how did you react to that and how did that resolve? I mean, except for that you never touched her cereal ever again.
So essentially, I jumped down from the counter in which I was sitting and ran screaming into my grandparents' bedroom, of which they were still sleeping. Jumped on their bed right on top of my grandfather, and they jolted awake, and he and I'm screaming, "She has a knife! She has a knife!" And he sits up and he just goes, "Hey!" and goes out there and just starts yelling at her. And I honestly don't know what happened, because then I was just burrowed with my grandma under the covers. Yeah.
Again, this makes total sense to me and feels like an exact retelling of my childhood. Mm-hmm.
What is going on in U.S. households?
Maybe you just don't understand the dynamic between siblings in the U.S. household.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, my little brother, we destroyed some doors, but we would not pull knives on each other.
Oh my goodness. I don't even know what to say.
Me neither.
So my question is, what I don't understand is, how was the knives... Because I'm assuming you were young kids. So
yes.
How come the knives were low down enough on your kitchen counter for your sister to reach one, because everybody has sharp knives in their kitchen, but the logic is you don't leave them in reach of children.
I think they had shallow counters. I don't know. But there also was stools, and I don't know if she grabbed one, but probably a lower hanging knife from the block, I'd imagine.
What a beautiful story to bring to such a wholesome Hufflepuff family podcast.
Again, I repeat, this is the Halloween episode, so this is perfect.
Yes.
It's right on theme.
So Juliana says it's true.
I mean, if it's not, that's still the reality I lived as a child, so true enough for me.
I will say it's false.
Because Mel wants to think that it's false. She's hoping. Not realizing how screwed up America is.
Nathan.
The world is burning, but yes, I think it's true.
What is it, Megs?
It's true.
I knew it!
Absolutely true. It is seared into my memory.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I was really, really hoping that's not true, but okay. You poor traumatized.
Yeah, my sister had untreated issues that later on were addressed. But
oh, yeah.
Nice. I'm glad those did get addressed. And
is she well nowadays?
Yes. No, she's great. She's she's a massage therapist and does Eastern medicine and is very, very chill. Like a really zen individual compared now, which is pretty wild.
Compared to childhood.
Yeah, compared to childhood.
What if you would eat her cereal now?
Oh, gosh. Actually, we probably would eat the same cereal because both of us have the weird, like, gluten-free sensitivities and things like that. So we'd probably be the ones with the one really expensive cereal that we'd have to share.
Okay, so Nathan, would you like to go next?
Weirdly, serendipitously, my story has a connection.
Element of violence.
It has a connection to like destroying doors. So I'll just explain this. So as a small child, I was obsessed with Michael Jackson. I knew all the lyrics to Thriller. Yeah. I had a terrible Jerry Curl wig, and I was really, really obsessed with the music video for Bad. So much so that I wrote Bad on our front door in permanent marker so it would look like the spray paint they had in the video. I was 6 years old. It's not a good look on me now.
What was your parents' reaction to that?
Oh, they were horrified. Absolutely horrified. Because it was permanent marker, so it wasn't being scrubbed off. But yeah, there was a lot of shouting. It's like, oh yeah, maybe this wasn't such a good thing to do. But at the time when I was doing it, I wasn't conscious that I was doing a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, then afterwards I was like, oh yeah, maybe. Maybe not.
Maybe that was a bad idea.
Yeah.
My question would be, how were you so stealthy that you were able to go out the front door on your own and do this without your parents having any knowledge of what was happening?
That is a good question. One of my parents definitely was at work, so that helped. The other parent was like in the back garden, so I had a direct route to the door. But also, at the time, because I was younger, I was in like a self-propelled wheelchair, and they make a lot less noise. So unless you like bang into something, no one's going to know that you're moving.
Yeah.
So
all right.
I'd say that's how.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm leaning on that it's true. I liked the story initially, but something inside of me is telling me that it's not true, but on a technicality, I want to say that you wrote Bad, but you might have written it on like your bedroom door instead of the front door. I feel like it was probably a different door. I'm going to say it's false on a technicality. I feel like because it was on a different door, and that's where I'm going to stand.
I really want this to be true. That would be hilarious. I want to say it's true.
I'm going to go with false, just because it's so hard for me to picture Nathan going to the front door with his markers and going outside and turning around and then drawing all over the door.
See, that's why I think it was like the bathroom door or something.
I know,
too, that would
I know.
Be easy access.
There was so much intent in this, you know, like it was like that was a commitment to be doing this. Yeah. Like,
oh, I was fully committed. I think you're underestimating how much of a dramatic child I was.
Obviously.
So is it true or not, Nathan?
So I did write bad on a door, but it was not the front door.
I knew it!
Oh, no!
Was it your bedroom door?
No, it was like, so there's the front door, and then there was like a little porch thing, and then there was the door into our living room, and that's what I wrote it on.
Nice.
I don't know how points distribution works here, because everybody was sort of right.
Yeah, I didn't get a point.
You
so
give your zero false answer, and then you get a point based on that. You can you can give whatever backstory and speculations you want, but unless you say the correct true or false determination.
I mean, I happily take a point if you...
No, no, doesn't get it. No.
I need
no.
them.
No, she doesn't. So, Mel, would you like to tell us what your statement is?
Yes. So, since it seems to be the theme of childhood memories today, I came up with a story from my childhood as well. When I was little, I drank so much carrot juice that I actually turned orange.
I'm trying to think of a good question to ask you so I can get some clarification on this.
How does a child come across carrot juice and enjoy drinking it?
You're Mel. That's the part I believe.
Well, it has a certain sweetness to it. I'm someone who craves certain things for a while, and then I consume a lot of it until I get sick of it, and then I will not use it for a long time. And I was already as a child like that, and I really was obsessed with carrot juice, and my mother wasn't thinking much of it. She was just happy that I would take any vegetables and fruits so that I get my vitamins. So I drank a lot of it. Because it was available to me.
How orange did you turn?
You could tell that my skin started to look a little bit yellowish, and you could see it on the eyes because I had too much of this. Is it called carotene?
Keratin? Yep.
Keratin, yeah. I want to know, for you to have come across carrot juice in the first place, was your mum already buying it? Was it already in the house?
Oh, that's a good question, Nate.
Yeah, so, and Juliana will know about this, that I am a bit of a difficult eater, and I actually prefer to drink juices instead of fruits, for example, because I don't like the consistency of them, or with vegetables, they have to be very soft. And my mother, since I was always very pale, my mother was always concerned that I don't get enough vitamins. So she was rather either buying or making juice for me and for my brother, so we would get the vitamins from that. And I got so obsessed with the carrot juice. Sometimes there was some other fruits in there as well, or vegetables, but mainly the carrot juice. And she just let me have it because she was happy that I was taking in something like that. And because of her, I got to drink it and enjoyed it very much. Bit too much.
Know what? I'm just going to go out on a limb because I already got 2 points today. I'm going to say that this is true.
Okay.
I think it's true.
I could see you doing this, Mel.
Yeah.
Well, I'm then going to say false because I don't think this needs 3 trues. So I'm just going to...
Just for variety.
Yeah.
Okay. I actually always hated carrot juice.
Oh, damn.
Disgusting. My mother did make all these juices and forced us to drink it. And I do have a problem with certain fruits and stuff.
Yeah.
But I avoided carrot juice as much as I could. But this actually really truly happened with my cousin.
Oh, they turned
orange.
It
wasn't me.
Oh.
Yeah. And the doctors actually told her she's not allowed to have any carrot juice anymore.
Yeah, wow. The carotenoids are very, like, poignant antioxidant thing that just really... And they're just dark in color.
Juliana.
So in 4th grade, my mom made me a kangaroo costume based around her stuffed animal from her childhood.
Oh. Did your mom still have the stuffed animal?
Yeah, yes. She does still have the stuffed animal. And I used it as the baby kangaroo.
Oh, that's adorable.
So my question is, why did you need a kangaroo costume?
Genuinely, I don't remember why I was a kangaroo. I think my mom just decided she wanted to make me a kangaroo. I used to hold that stuffed animal a lot for some reason. I like things that mean things to people. I have my mom's first 5K she ever run. I have her shirt from that. It's like 1980 something Tufts, like Elephant Stampede or something, whatever the heck it is.
So this is not gonna help anything with finding out the truth here, but did you name that kangaroo Juliana?
No. I did not.
Okay. Because she tends to do that.
Oh, cute.
So maybe I should go first and then you two take the opposite of what I'm saying because I'm clearly really bad at this today and I haven't gotten any points yet. I will go and say it's false.
I'm going to say false because I'm going to think that it was a different animal than a kangaroo. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, well, I was leaning false because I was going to say it wasn't in fourth grade, but I want to say true now because I want to play devil's advocate.
Ooh, okay.
Did that, yeah, before, yeah.
Yes, we've done that before. So it is true. It's 100% true. I was, my mom made me a giant tail.
I told you to do the opposite of what I'm saying.
She actually made me a tail. She took pillowcase and she like cut it and made me a tail and like hitched it onto a pair of sweatpants. And I had a functioning pouch and a like hoodie with ears.
Oh my gosh.
I remember walking around in this because like my mom like really went to town on this costume. And all the teachers were like, wow. Like, because you do like the little Halloween parade where you walk around the school. People were very impressed by my mom's handiwork on the kangaroo costume.
Oh my goodness.
But yes, that is fully the truth.
Nice.
So, if I have counted it correctly, Nathan had 3 correct.
Wow, good for you, Nate.
Thank you.
Meg had 2.
Yeah.
Juliana got 2.
Yeah.
I got lovely 0 points because I am only giving points today. Therefore, our guests gathered 5 points for today and have a total of 25 points.
Yay!
Nice. We've done a good job for the guests today.
Very well done. Juliana has now 15 points and yes. I stay at 10 points.
Oh, good. I have a 5-point lead on you. That's good.
Well done with gathering the points. So you did both. Yes.
Well, I mean, I was going to say, of course, we're the winners because we get to guest on this wonderful podcast.
Aww.
Like, who isn't winning?
Nathan.
That was sweet.
Like, I just have loved spending time with you. It's been a blast recording this.
Yes.
Like, aww. Despite all of our audio technical issues, it's just really lovely hanging out with you. I've enjoyed it so much. Yeah, come listen to Care of Magical Shippers if you like more of our nonsense. And also, we have a wonderful Spooch episode recorded with Present Company.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to that as well.
I'm sure that we'll do more together in the future.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Well, we are planning on it.
Yes.
You will be back.
Yes.
You can count on that for sure. So let's hand it over to Buttercup real quick.
Cute.
And she'll give us the question of the week.
Whew. I don't think I will ever be able to look young Master Draco in the eye ever again. Ooh. Is this recording already? This week's question comes from Juliana. If Harry was a Slytherin and under Lucius' wing, do you think that Draco would turn to Voldemort in his desperation and anger to willingly become the next generation of Death Eaters? Share your thoughts and answers with us on all our social media platforms or send us an email at puffcastpod@gmail.com. Now, you be careful out there. Happy spooky season.
Thank you, Buttercup, for that lovely question. Listeners, if you'd like to answer that question, please head on over to our social media or hit us up on email, I guess. Hit me up with an email.
Smash your face against our email.
Please don't hurt yourself.
Megs and Nathan, if we'd like to smash our face with more of your content, where can we do that?
So we're Care of Magical Shippers on Tumblr.
Yes. Yes.
and Magical Ship Pod on Instagram and
Twitter.
Yep. Yes. I know the handles.
You're on top of it.
You can email us at careofmagicalshippers@gmail.com.
Our website is careofmagicalshippers.com. And then we also have a Telegram that we love to get people to like send us voice recordings and stuff. And we love to, you know, message back. I know that I told you gals to get on so that we can send messages to each other because it's so much fun. We're all over the place, most active on Tumblr for sure. Yeah. So you can always like hit us up, send us a message or an ask or anything. And yeah, we're around.
I was just going to say that obviously Mel and I highly recommend their podcast. We love listening to them. And listeners, if you like us, you're going to love them. So go ahead and over and listen to them.
Just remember, it is a little bit dirty over there. Bring your sponges and buckets.
Sponges and buckets.
Put your sailing hat on for the magical shippers.
Yes.
Yay. Okay, well, we loved having you both.
Thank you. We loved being here.
Yeah, that was so much fun.
Oh, it was so just soul balm. It's just lovely talking to you guys. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for joining us. And listeners, if you would like to get in contact with us, you can listen to us on all platforms where podcasts are found. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at PuffcastPod. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/PuffCast. Also on TikTok at PuffCast. You can smash us with an email at PuffcastPod@gmail.com or smash us with some support over on Patreon, where you can get exclusive benefits like bloopers, access to Buttercup's Tea Room, and help donate to charity every month as well. And go ahead and smash that rating and review button over on Apple Podcasts and leave us a smashing review. Review of 5 stars. And how many times can I say smashing in the next minute? I don't know. Okay, so until next time, stay puffy
and smash on.
I was hoping you were gonna say that, Mel. I was like, I hope Mel says that. I hope she's on the same wavelength as me.
With a bat of the eye, we'll be here again soon.
Yay. Looking forward to that.